I'm Holly. I'm an alcoholic, and my sobriety date is July 18, 2006, and I have a home group and a sponsor, and thank you guys for asking me to come down here, and you guys are very welcoming. It was a nice surprise, and I don't know, I guess not surprised, you guys giggled at that. It was just nice, you know? I don't know, I guess I'm supposed to tell you guys you know, my drinking story and, I guess my experience with sobriety. And, I don't know, I'm really grateful to be sober and I'm really grateful to be asked to do anything in Alcoholics Anonymous. And, especially coming out here, I love the mountains and I love being out, in nature, like coming, like I live in Bethesda. I grew up in Southern Maryland, like kind of on the water and, you know, it was like, just there wasn't a lot of hustle bustle, you know, and now I live in Bethesda, and it's just crazy, you know, so it was nice to take a long drive out here and, you know, just, like, be in nature and, you know, got to hang out with Miriam, and so I don't know, it was just nice, and I was hoping the park would be open after this, but I heard it closes at dark in the wintertime, but anyway, I guess I'm definitely an alcoholic. You know, when I first came to AA, I didn't know if I was an alcoholic or not. Because I did a lot of drugs, and I didn't know if I was an addict or if I was an alcoholic. And, you know, after coming to AA and relating to people and relating to the Big Book, and also looking at my drinking story, I determined that I was an alcoholic. And the reason I know that, you know, setting aside all the drugs that I did, you know, I have, you know, the first page of We Agnostics talks about, you know, if when, you know, basically says, you know, I have little control over the amount I take and I can't quit entirely. Those are kind of like the two things that make an alcoholic. And I have both of those. Like every time I drank, pretty much, most of the time I set out to get drunk. And every time I drank, I would always just keep drinking, you know, like I would always, like at the time, I'd always be like, well, if one does this, then what would two do? And if two does this, what would three do? And, you know, looking back, I know that's the obsession to drink, but in the phenomenon of craving. But at the time, it was just like, I just wanted to get more drunk, you know? And also every time I tried to stop, like if I got in trouble or whatever, I always returned to drinking, like always, you know? And so that's kind of how I knew that I was an alcoholic, you know, regardless of everything else that I went through. And, I don't know, I grew up, like I said, I grew up in Southern Maryland, you know, like on the peninsula of Two Rivers. And, I don't know, my parents were divorced and, but, you know, I saw my dad, you know, every other weekend, my whole childhood, he was a big part of my life and everything. And, I don't know, I guess I was, you know, people always talk about, like, before they started drinking, they were, like, really uncomfortable or whatever, and I don't really remember that. I just remember being, like, angry, you know. I just was, like, an angry child, and, you know, like, I remember I would, like, I don't know, I would, like, get, like, the babysitter would, like, piss me off, and I would, like, act crazy, you know, and stuff like that. And, I guess when I was, like, 7 or 8, my mom started dating an alcoholic, and he was in AA, but I don't think, I mean, he was, like, a dry drunk, basically, and, so he would, like, beat her up, and, there was, like, a lot of violence and fights, and I just remember, like, you know, like, he would get mad. There was, like, he would get mad about, like, really dumb things, like, that there wasn't 2% milk in the fridge, and then my mom would, like, be like, you want 2% milk? And so she would buy a gallon of 2% milk and, like, dump all the milk into his cereal in the morning, and I just grew up, like, with stuff like that, you know, and, or, like, another time, like, we didn't bring beach towels to the beach, and so when we got home, she threw all the regular towels off the back deck, and it was just crazy, you know? And, I don't know, I was always, like, attracted to, you know, the, like, I don't even know what you would call it, like, not violence, but just, like, the drama and, like, the excitement and stuff like that. And, you know, I remember, I guess I grew up, like, on a dirt road, a mile-long dirt road, and there weren't any kids around and stuff. And then, like, when I turned 12, we moved into a neighborhood, which, you know, my, you know, it was supposed to be good because, you know, we'd be around the kids and stuff. But by that time, it was, like, that was when I started getting high, you know. So it was, like, perfect because then I was around all these kids and I could get weed and stuff like that. And I don't know. I just remember, you know, and there was a shopping center right in front of our neighborhood, and we would go up to the shopping center and we would like steal cigarettes and, you know, pay people to buy us alcohol. And, you know, and it was like that. And I, you know, I would sneak out at night and hang out with all the guys and, you know, the other girls in the neighborhood, and we would, you know, drink in the park and, you know, and it was just fun. Like, I just had a really good time. And I remember, right when I first started drinking, I'd pretty much changed everything about myself. Like up until then, like, I always got really good grades, and, you know, I was, like, kind of, like, a nerd. I liked reading, and, you know, I was, you know, I just was, you know, I would, like, memorize, like, where the countries were on the map, and, you know, just things like that, and all that kind of just went out the window. And I, you know, I changed the way I dressed, I changed the friends I was hanging out with, I changed the way my room was. Like, I started getting, like, posters that had, like, marijuana and, like, mushrooms, and, you know, we started drawing all over the walls, and, you know, I would hang my cigarette packs on the walls. Like, I had a whole wall full of cigarette packs and stuff, and, you know, I just changed everything, and I started getting in trouble at school, and that was in seventh grade, and I remember, you know, my stepdad would, like, come into my, he would smoke, and he would be like, you shouldn't smoke, you know, and he was in AA, and he would tell me, like, you're going down the path, like, you're gonna, you know, jails, institutions, or death. And I didn't know that was, like, from AA, but, he would tell me that, and I was 12 years old, you know, and my mom, I remember the first drink I ever took, I think, I mean, my brother just recently got sober, and he's like, that wasn't your first drink, but I thought it was, so I'll just tell a story. My parents gave me, you know, like, some, like, a bottle of whiskey, like, it was Old Crow or whatever, and they were like, here, drink this, like, just to see what would happen. And I just intuitively knew to chug, and I chugged it, and I got drunk, but I wasn't, like, acting crazy, like, how a little kid, like, 11-year-old would act or whatever. And my mom was like, you know, you're an alcoholic, and so they were telling me this stuff when I was, like, really little, and I was like, whatever, like, you know, like, I don't even know what you guys are talking about. And, so when I was, the first year, I mean, I got in all this trouble, and I remember, and I hated my stepdad, and he would, like, search my room and not find anything, and you know, he was always trying to get in my way of, like, you know, drinking and, you know, smoking weed and stuff like that, and I just hated him, because I just felt, you're not my dad, like, leave me alone, you know. And, and what ended up happening was, I told my brother that I was going to beat myself up and call social services and say it was him. And you know, he worked for the government, and, you know, he, I mean, that would, you know, looking back now, I mean, that's, like, crazy. I would have ruined his life, you know. And so my brother, you know, went downstairs and told my parents, and, like, I got in so much trouble, and so I ran away. I was, like, I just left. And I think the day before that, like, I was trying to buy, like, drugs. I was trying to buy acid over the phone, and my mom picked up the phone and heard the drug deal. And so, and then the next day, that the threatening thing happened, and then I ran away. And then when they got me, they put me in a mental institution, and, you know, because he felt like he was walking on eggshells living with me and blah, blah, blah. And so I went into this mental institution for a week, and basically what I learned from that experience was, if I'm going to be able to drink, I have to keep it together on the outside. You know, I got to get good grades. I got to stop getting in trouble at school. I got to stop, you know, mouthing off to my stepdad and my mom, and, you know, and that was kind of the message that I got. I didn't get, like, I should stop drinking or I should stop, you know. I just got that I need to, like, hold it together on the outside, you know. And because it wasn't even, like, a thought to stop, you know. It was just, like, I love the way drinking makes me feel, you know. And honestly, like, if I could still drink and not have the consequences, like, I'd still be out there. It just got so bad that I couldn't bear it anymore, you know. And because it just, I love what people say. I didn't really hear this until I got to AA, but, like, you know, if alcohol does for you what it does for me, then you would drink too, you know. And I mean, it just, every single time I drank, like, my problems went away. I didn't care what anybody thought. I just thought I was better than everybody, and I could just have fun and laugh and, like, chill out. And I'm really, like, you know, type A, like, high maintenance, like, always, like, neurotic, you know. And whenever I was drinking, it just, like, that neurosis just, like, went away, and I could just, like, just, you know, just be, you know. And I, you know, in the very beginning, it wasn't really about, you know, that. It was more just, like, you know, having fun and chasing the excitement of, like, stealing stuff out of people's yards when I was, like, running around the neighborhood and stuff like that. But later, you know, I remember I don't know how many years later, but I remember the first time, like, the conscious decision of, like, I need to get fucked up now. Like, because I, my mom and I got in a fight, and I just couldn't deal. Like, I needed to drink now, you know? And that, you know, after that, that was, like, how it was, you know? And I don't know. So I got out of the psych ward, and my stepdad and my mom ended up getting divorced, and you know, so it was just my mom and my brother and I, and after that, she got a boyfriend that lived in Virginia, and so she would leave every weekend, and so I would throw parties at the house, and you know, I was pretty much, like, I guess a latchkey kid, you know. She had owned her own business, and she didn't get home until late, and so I would get home from school and go out and hang out in the neighborhood, and you know, and I pretty much did whatever I wanted, and you know, she kind of, you know, there was just so much fighting, and, you know, if she stood in my way, I would just fight, you know, or I would just leave, and she wouldn't know where I was, and so eventually she just kind of gave up, you know. So it was like she'd rather know where I was, because she knew I would drink anyway, so it just kind of became like, all right, well, I'm going over here, and, you know, and she knew what I was doing, but, you know, I guess, I don't know, I guess she just didn't, she would rather me not just leave, you know, and so that's how my high school was, and I remember I got a couple alcohol citations, and I remember after the first one I got put on, you know, probation, and they started giving me piss tests, and so I couldn't get high anymore, which was fine, because by that time I had stopped drinking, and I didn't really like getting high anymore anyway, and it was kind of stupid, you know. I got busted for alcohol, and they started piss testing me for weed, and it was just like, all right, whatever. And at the same time, you know, I you know, before, like, in middle school and stuff, like, I would drink liquor because that's just, like, what we could get or whatever. And every single time I drank, I would get so drunk so fast. You know, I mean, I was probably, like, you know, 90 or 100 pounds or whatever. And you know, we were drinking hard liquor, and I would just do, like, really embarrassing things. And, you know, I couldn't control myself, you know, and I didn't know that at the time, but it was just like I was just totally out of control every single time I drank liquor. And so when I got to high school, I wanted to be cool, and I didn't want to, like, act how I acted when I drank liquor, and I couldn't smoke weed. So, and there was only beer at the keg parties in high school. So I hated beer. I hated it. But I remember I needed a drink, you know. I mean, by that time it had been a couple years of my drinking, and so I remember sitting in my friend's basement forcing myself to drink beer, because I was like, I need to learn how to like this, you know. And eventually beer became my drink of choice, you know. Like, I always had a 12-pack of Bud Light bottles. If I had money, I would get the bottles, you know. And so, you know, in high school, I just became a beer drinker. And every weekend, you know, I managed to, for the most part, I mean, sometimes I would sneak out and, like, hang out and stuff. But most of the time I would, you know, go to school during the day, and then I would work at night, and then I would come home and do schoolwork, and then I would and then on the weekends I would drink. And so I was like a ticking time bomb during the week, you know, because I was trying to hold it together. Because I had this idea that if I got out of St. Mary's County and went away to college, that everything would be better, you know, and these people, and, you know, it's my mom and all this stuff. And so if I get good grades, I can get out of here, you know. And you know, so I tried to, I did that. And I did get pretty good grades in high school. But I also, you know, got heavily into other drugs, and you know, I got into the club scene, and I lived like an hour and a half from D.C., but on the weekends, you know, we would drink, and we would, you know, drive up to the club. And I remember when I was 15, I had an ID that said I was 24, and so I'd buy, like, alcohol for people that were, like, older than me, that were, like, 19, but I was the one buying alcohol even though I was 15, and, you know, it was just crazy. And, you know, we would, like, drive up there and, like, pay, you know, crackheads to, like, watch our car and stuff like that. I mean, and it's just, like, nowhere a 15-year-old should be, you know what I mean? And you know, like, it's funny because my sister is 6 years younger than me, and she is totally different, you know. Like, when she was 15, I mean, she was, like, a cheerleader, and she played the French horn, and, you know what I mean? And I just couldn't even, like, picture her in that situation, you know what I mean? Like, it's just crazy. But at the time, it was normal. Like, I just wanted to drink, you know, and these were the people, and that's what they're doing, so that's what I'm going to do, and it's fun, and I love it, and, you know, and I had a blast, and I don't know, so, I guess, you know, and, I remember, you know, and somehow, like, I mean, I got good grades, and I remember in 11th grade, I was like, that's when you have to apply for college or whatever, and I remember I didn't have anything else except for good grades, and so I remember, like, doing things like, you know, to try to put stuff so that I could, like, on my, not resume, but whatever it is that you, yeah, the application, and so I did a bunch of stuff like that, and so I looked okay on paper, you know, and I ended up getting into a college, and I remember, you know, when I graduated from high school, my last, my senior year, I only took two classes because that's all they required. And so I would work, and I worked for my dad, and, you know, so I'd leave school and I would go work for him. And then that continued through the summer until I went away to college. And I don't know if he was just turning a blind eye or what. And I used to just say like, oh, my dad's cool, you know? And so I would go in late and, you know, coming in smelling like alcohol. And I drank every night. Like we had, you know, the senior week or whatever, and I went to Ocean City and I learned how to beer bong, and I loved it. I mean, I was like instant drunk, you know, finally, and I just drank that whole summer. I mean, I always just knew where the party was, and if there wasn't a party, then we would just make one in somebody's basement, or, you know, even if it was just a couple people drinking, you know, I had a drink, you know, and then, you know, I went away to college, and I remember when I went away to college, I told myself, like, okay, like, this is, you know, I'm getting away from the people, and I'm getting away from my mom, and so I'm going to turn over this new leaf, and I moved up to Jersey, and, right outside of New York City, we were, like, the college was 10 minutes outside of the city, and I remember, I was like, I'm going to, I'm going to do really well, and, you know, I'm going to join some clubs, and, like, do, you know, I don't know, and so I get there, and I, of course, brought a six-pack with me, you know, because it takes, like, you know, it takes, like, a day or two when you're in a new place to, like, meet the people and, like, figure it out, you know. And so the first night, I drank a couple beers by myself in my room, and then the second night, I met people and, you know, got wasted. And I remember the next day, I woke up, you know, with my wallet was stolen, and I woke up in a different dorm room, and in the, you know, just the way, I guess you get dropped off a couple of days before the college starts or whatever, and so the bank account at the school wasn't open yet, and I didn't have any money because my wallet got stolen. And, you know, so I had to call my dad, and I had to drive, like, 3 hours to, like, my stepmom's cousin's house, like, somewhere out in Jersey to get money to last for the couple of days before school started. And it was just always stuff like that. And that new leaf never really happened. I just, you know, as soon as I found the people, I just started drinking every night. And when I was there, I remember I was drinking every night. Everyone else wasn't drinking every night, you know. And I remember noticing that because when I was in high school, I hung out with all the dropouts. And so everybody was drinking all the time, you know what I mean? And so it was normal. But then when I got to college, like, there was a couple of us that drank every single night. But it wasn't everybody, you know, and I just remember, like, having conversations with people, like, you know, oh, so you didn't drink, you know, you're not going to drink tonight or whatever, and it just didn't register. I was like, why wouldn't you, you know, but I didn't know that, like, I was getting something different from alcohol than they were, you know, and so I just got really, I started getting depressed. You know, I would wake up, I'd go to class, I'd wake up extremely hungover, and I'd go to class, and then I'd come back, and I'd really, like, bust out my homework, and then so that I could drink that night, and I did that, you know, the whole time, and then, you know, but during the day when I wasn't drinking, I just felt crazy, you know, I just felt depressed, and I would question, like, what was happiness, and am I happy, and will I ever be happy, and, you know, I just felt crazy, you know, and I didn't know, you know, maybe I shouldn't be in New Jersey. Like, maybe I need to move to New York. And I would think of things, you know, like, you know, how could I, you know, why don't I, you know, feel good, you know? And then I would drink and all of it would go away. You know, and all kinds of crazy stuff happened. I mean, I was, like, from, you know, the country, Southern Maryland. I was, you know, 18 years old, totally naive. And, you know, I was going into New York City and partying, and it was just, you know, a lot of bad stuff happened, and it was just crazy, and you know, so eventually I decided that I needed to go into a school in New York City, you know, and I transferred second semester, so, you know, everybody had already made all their friends, and, you know, I got put on the all-women's floor, and I was, like, not an all-women's person, you know what I mean, and, you know, that's very different today, but at the time, it was, like, I hung out with all guys, and so I didn't meet anybody, and I remember I was, like, kind of, like, hippied out, you know, and I had, like, you know, I just dressed like that, and I was, you know, involved in, like, Greenpeace and all this stuff, and, like, the school was, like, really preppy, and so I just didn't, I couldn't make friends, and I, when I was sober, I felt so crazy, like, my head was so loud all the time, and I just felt so self-centered, so, you know, I couldn't, like, go to class and, like, make friends, or, like, go to the cafeteria and, like, make friends, because I just felt so uncomfortable, you know, and so the only way I could, like, socialize was if I was drinking, you know, and so I would go to the bar. There was this one bar that would serve to minors, and I had another fake ID at this point, and this one actually had my picture on it, but, you know, and you know, then I would also, they had this, the first school I went to had given us, like, a book bag that perfectly fit 30 cases in it, and it, the first school actually was a dry campus, but they gave us these backpacks that perfect, it was perfect, you know, and so when I went to this other school, I just, you know, snuck in 30 packs and I would drink by myself in my room because I didn't have any friends. And then sometimes on the weekend, I would go back to my old school and people would be like, why are you here? You know, like, you know, like I just felt like such a loser, you know, and but I had to drink, you know, and I was just, I was getting really, really lonely. And, you know, and I just remember being there and just like the school was, you know, it was like a 12-story building in New York City, and, you know, the cafeteria, all my classes, the dorms, everything was in the building, and so there would just be, like, days at a time where I just wouldn't leave the building, and I lived in New York City, and there's so much stuff to do there, and, like, you know, now looking back, I'm like, God, I lived in New York, like, I didn't do anything, you know, I just literally didn't do anything, like, I went to this one bar where you could play beer pong, and I lived in the building, and that was it, and, you know, I would go to this one liquor store to get beer, and, you know, and, you know, looking back, I mean, there's so much stuff to do up there, but I couldn't, I just wouldn't, and I couldn't, and I would just be, you know, I would just be in my room, and I would listen to depressing music and drink, you know, and be miserable, and so I decided it was New York City was a problem, there's no trees, and, you know, I need to go back to Maryland, you know, and so I went home, and when I went home, I fell back right in with the same crowd that I was getting away from, you know, when I first moved away, and a lot of people had, you know, moved on to, like, harder things, like heroin and, you know, crack and stuff like that, and, you know, I was still drinking, and, you know, I was drinking every day, and people were starting to call me a lush, and, you know, but I, you know, it was just, I laughed it off. I would just, I'd be like, ha ha, you know, like, what does lush mean? You know, like, I just didn't, it was just like, whatever, you know, I don't know. So I applied to Maryland and I got in, and so I, you know, I remember before the summer was over, a couple of my friends and I went on this road trip, like from Maryland through Tennessee down, you know, through New Orleans and through back up through Florida and then back up the coast or whatever. And I mean, it was just a crazy, like, drug drinking, like, fest thing, you know, and I don't know. But I ended up, this guy that I was friends with all through high school, you know, we started dating during that road trip or whatever. And he, you know, he was a total loser. I mean, I was so lonely, you know, I knew that he liked me and I was just like, all right, well, whatever, I'll just give this a chance, you know? So when I went to Maryland, he came with me and I started getting into heroin and OxyContins and I got addicted to that. And so I was going to Maryland and when I went to Maryland, I mean, there was like, I guess like 50 or 40,000 people at that school. And I was like, I did not meet a soul. I think I met one guy who sold us weed and that was it. And that whole place, you know, and I mean, I was so miserable. Like, I hated my life so much. I got addicted to the opiates and I was still drinking and eventually, I know this is AA or whatever, but I did the opiates for 2 years and I drank some in there, but when you're doing that stuff, you don't really need to drink. And my life just became totally unbearable. I would drive 2 hours to get stuff and I'd break into my mom's house and I was robbing people and I was stealing from people and I just couldn't get up anymore. Like, I just would lay in bed all day long and, you know, kind of coming in, nodding in and out. And, you know, and like, I remember, you know, like VH1 Beach One has like 5 shows that they play like 6 times a day, like in a row, like over and over again. And so I would just lay in bed and like watch TV. And, you know, and I wasn't really going to class. I wasn't working. And I remember like every day I would tell myself, you know, all right, tomorrow I'm going to take my eyebrow ring out and I'm going to find a job and I'm going to go to class. I'm going to call my mom, you know. And then every day I would wake up in the morning and I would just feel like shit and I needed something, you know. And so I would, you know, I would find something and you know, drink or do, you know, do something and, you know, and just every, it was just like that every day, you know. And eventually my parents found out what was going on and they put me into a rehab. And when I went to the rehab, they said that if I didn't go to the rehab, then they weren't going to pay for college anymore. And so I was like, all right, well, whatever, I'll play your game, you know. And I wanted to stop doing the drugs and I just wanted to drink again, you know, like I wanted to just be normal and drink, you know. And, cause I didn't think drinking was a problem. You know, intellectually drugs clearly are a problem. Like society says so, you know what I mean? But like alcohol, everybody drinks, you know what I mean? Like that's like normal, you know, I'm like in college, you know? And so I went to this rehab and I remember, you know, they would give me Anabuse and I would like pretend like I was coughing and like spit it into my purse and stuff. And then I would go home and drink and, you know, and they would give me Suboxone, which helps with withdrawals from opiates, and I would do the same thing with that, and then I would go home, and, you know, it was like, I was, you know, living with this guy who, we had all the drugs in the house, beer in the fridge, you know what I mean, and I would go to rehab during the day, and then I'd come home to that, and it's like, how do you stay sober in that situation? I mean, I was powerless, completely powerless, and you can't, I mean, I couldn't, you know, and so, you know, eventually, I mean, I got through that rehab or whatever, and then my parents cut me off, and I just ended up taking out student loans and to stay in school or whatever. But, you know, but that last, after that, you know, my mom and my dad just done with me. And so the last, I think I was out there for another year, a year and a half or something after that rehab, and I mean, it just became unbearable. Well, it was already unbearable, but it just got worse, you know, I stopped caring about myself. I thought about killing myself all the time. My boyfriend, one day we'd wake up and I'd want to quit, you know? And so we were going to quit tomorrow. And then the next day, like, I wouldn't want to quit anymore, but he'd want to quit. And so then, you know, and we would argue about it and, you know, it was just crazy. And I just felt like I thought that one day I would like snap out of it, you know what I mean? Like I had, you know, but then like towards the end, I just had this feeling like I was never going to be normal. Like this was going to eventually kill me, you know? And that's kind of what I got from that rehab. Like I was in there with, you know, like people, like a couple, like older people. And, you know, cause at the time I was like 20 or 19 or something. And I related to them a lot, you know, and I was like, God, like, I'm going to be like them, you know, like, I'm not going to stop, you know what I mean? And, you know, and I also, the other thing I learned from that rehab was that if I ever really did want to get sober, I was going to have to go to AA and I was going to have to get rid of my boyfriend and all my friends. Like for some reason, that's what I walked away from, but I wasn't done yet. And so I kept doing it you know, and I mean, just to kind of give you an idea of like my living situation, I lived in a house with like 8 other people and we would clean the house before the parties would be thrown. And then after the party, we wouldn't clean the house. And so there were just like beer that had like mold overgrowing it. And, you know, like in my room, there wasn't electricity on like one side of the wall and, we didn't have heat and, I had cats that had worms and we got the worms removed but we didn't get the fleas removed. So then the cats got worms again and they would sleep with us and I didn't wash the sheets ever. And, you know, I never showered. I mean, it was just, I was disgusting and I hated myself, you know, and it didn't matter. Like I couldn't do anything, you know? And eventually what happened was I took some sleeping pills, and my, my, my boyfriend at the time's mom was like a drug addict, and she had taken some of these pills, and she peed herself or whatever, and so she gave them to my boyfriend and was like, I don't want these, you know, you can have them or whatever, and he would always hide drugs from me because, you know, I would always just do all of them or whatever, and so he was like, I'm regulating this because my mom, like, you know, but he went to sleep, and he had a safe to hide things from me, I don't know why he had the safe, but so I got in there because, of course, I had the code, and I took one, and it didn't do anything, so then I took two, and it didn't do anything, so then I took three, and I finally felt something, you know, and that's how I was, you know, if it didn't do anything, like, I was going to keep doing it until I felt something, you know, and so then I went to sleep, and then the next morning I woke up, and I was totally out of my mind, like, totally crazy, like, hallucinating, hearing voices, you know, I remember I locked myself out of the house, and I hallucinated that my cat was dead, and, insulation, it was like gray insulation on the ground outside, and I thought it was my cat, and, I locked myself out of the house, and, you know, every time a helicopter would go, like, over, I would think that we were having a terrorist attack, and I mean, I was just crazy, and, you know, I wrote down, I thought I had all the world problems solved, like, I wrote down, you know, that, you know, like, oh, I don't even know. I mean, I have the papers now, and it totally doesn't make any sense. And I was so crazy. And we were, to get, you know, pills, we were writing fake prescriptions. And you know, the way we were doing it is I had a prepaid phone, and, you know, we would write the fake prescriptions. My boyfriend would go into the pharmacy, and then I would sit in the car with the prepaid. And the only thing on the prescription that we changed was the phone number. And so the pharmacy would call the phone, and I would verify the prescription and, like, pretending like I was a doctor's office, but I was so whacked out, crazy, that I couldn't do it, so we ran out of drugs, you know, so I started detoxing, and so I'm in this drug psychosis, and I'm detoxing, you know, off of a lot of, you know, opiates, and, you know, I mean, I was just crazy. It was just, I mean, and I was terrified. I felt like I was going to die, you know. I didn't know, you know, and I didn't sleep for 7 days and seven nights, and on the fourth day, I called my dad, and I was like, you know, I hadn't talked to him in, like, 9 months, and the last time I talked to him, I told him that my car, my alternator broke, to get $300, because I knew alternators cost $300, so I just called him up, and I said, if you do not come get me, I'm going to die, because that's really how it felt, you know, and so he came and got me, and he took me to the hospital, and the hospital said, you need to go to rehab. And then they, you know, and I remember, I don't know if this is TMI, but, I mean, I had such a bad urinary tract infection that once all the pills and drugs got out of my system, I was, like, walking like this because I was in so much pain, but I was so numbed out that I couldn't feel anything, you know, and I was just a complete disaster. I had, you know, I was, like, 95 pounds, you know, you could see my bones, I was emaciated. And I was just so sick, you know, and I had no idea how to stay sober at all, you know, you know, thank God my uncle has like 25 years of sobriety and he sponsors people and he's doing the deal. And I knew that, you know, or I knew he was sober. I didn't know like what the deal was or whatever. But so I called him and I was like, I don't know what to do. And you know, he kind of 12-stepped me a little bit. And he told me to call my cousin who, some of you guys know, and he is a part of the Midtown group, and so later that day or the next day or something like that, I called him, and he was like, all right, you know, I'll come get you, and so him and his girlfriend at the time came and picked me up, before that, my uncle, I was living in that house, and my dad and my uncle, you know, came to the house with me so that I could get my stuff, and kind of, like, blocked my boyfriend, and between him and my cousin, like, they saved my life, you know what I mean? And my dad, and I went to this rehab before I went to AA actually, and they kicked me out. They said that I was too crazy and I needed to go to a mental institution. But I was like, after I talked to my uncle, I felt like I really wanted to get sober, you know? And I didn't want to go to a mental institution because I didn't want to not be able to smoke, you know? So they kicked me out of the rehab and I left but I had already talked to my cousin and he was supposed to come get me the next day. So he picked me up, him and his girlfriend, and they took me to a morning meeting on a Sunday. and they bought me a big book, and then they just hung out with me all day long. They just, you know, there was a AA conference that weekend, and so they had to drive the speaker back to the airport, and I didn't know. I mean, I was just, like, all along for the ride, and I was, like, totally crazy. I was still in this drug psychosis, and, I mean, like, this is how, like wild I was. Like, they had me on, like, tranquilizers in the morning to, like, calm me down, but I was still, like, just, you know, like, hyper, and I talked really, really fast, and, you know, wasn't really making sense, and I would just say the same things, like, over and over again, and, you know, so then, you know, they just hung out with me all day, and they talked about alcoholism, and I related, and I remember the first thing in the big book that they showed me was page 52, the bedevilments or whatever, and I just related so much, like, you know, I couldn't even comprehend how, like, something that was written in, like, 1935, like, that I related to so much, you know, and they took me to Midtown, which I don't know if, you know, people have been to Midtown, but that's, like, you know, at the time it was, like, 400 people, and I was terrified, but when I got there, I mean, people surrounded me, and they started, started 12-stepping me, and they just, you know, I remember I got there, and it was, like, all, you know, they, you know, dressed really well and, you know, happy and, you know, it's very, like, warm and, you know, and I was, like, I mean, it was, like, you know, the beginning of June and I was, like, in sweats and, you know, I was just in so much fear and just so crazy and I had no idea how to stay sober and, you know, and I remember walking in and it was, like, these people have no idea, like, there's no way, you know, but then they started telling me, you know, their stories, you know, they started telling me, like, how screwed up they were, you know, and I related, you know, and I know this isn't everybody's experience, but when I got to AA, I felt like this is where I need to be, like, I have to be here, like, I have to do this, and I'm kind of made, like, a pact with myself, like, then, that, you know, I'm going to do this, like, I'm really going to do this, like, I'm going to do the steps and get a sponsor and really try to do this, you know. And, you know, because I had tried, you know, I didn't go into much detail about this, but, you know, I had been in, you know, therapy and rehab and psychiatrists and, you know, drug counselors, and I'd been arrested and, you know, just, I'd read books. Like, I remember I bought drug and addiction, Alcohol and Addiction for Dummies. And, you know, I just, anything, like, to try to stay sober, I try to stay sober by myself. And I just was, you know, when I got to AA, I was just so hopeless. Like, I couldn't, and so that's why I wanted to kill myself, because, you know, I just got to that place that I talked about in the book where it's, like, I could not imagine keeping going how I was living. It was just, like, not one more day. I mean, that's why I finally called my dad. I was just done. Like, I just wanted to lay over and die, you know. But I also, you know, I had been drinking and doing drugs since I was 12 years old or 11, and, from what my brother says. but I had no idea. Like, I had no idea how to stay sober. I couldn't imagine not drinking anymore, you know. And because that was always my lie that I told myself. The lie was always, like, and this is different for everybody, but, you know, it's like, you know, every obsession of every abnormal drinker is that someday they'll be able to control and enjoy their drinking. And for me, that's always, all right, like, I'm not going to do drugs anymore, and so I'm just going to drink, you know, and I'm only going to drink on the weekends, you know. And that was what I always told myself. And I remember right before I called my dad, my boyfriend was like, you know, why don't we just stop and just drink, you know. And I just knew on the inside, I was like, my life is going to be the exact same, even if I really did get off, you know, stop doing the drugs or whatever. Like, I just knew, like, there's something had died on the inside, you know. And so, I don't know, that first day I knew I needed to get a sponsor, and you know, I'd asked Jack, like, who should I ask to sponsor me, and you know, and he introduced me to this girl, and so I asked her to sponsor me, and I remember I asked people, you know, the first day there was, like, a celebration dinner, because it was, like, a celebration meeting, and they took me there, and I remember sitting outside smoking cigarettes with people, and you know, I just remember asking this one girl, like, how do you stay sober? Like, I don't know how to stay sober, you know, and she just said, you know, if you want to stay sober, you got to do what we do, you know. And I heard, you got to do what we do, and you got to do what we say, but I don't think that's what she said, but that's what I heard, you know. So I was like, all right, well, I'm going to ask this girl to sponsor me, because that's what Jack told me to do, and you know, so, and I did, you know, and I hadn't failed out completely out of school, but it was over the summer, you know, so I wasn't in school, I wasn't working, I couldn't work, really, So I just started going to meetings every day, like twice a day, you know, all day long. And, my dad let me live with him. They cleared this room out for me in the basement, and I moved in with my dad. And, I would go to the morning meeting or the noon, and then I would hang out with people all day. And then, then we would go to the night meeting, and then I'd hang out with people all night. And because my dad had beer in the fridge, you know, and I was terrified. I mean, I was so terrified that I was just going to drink again, like just get struck drunk, you know. And so I just hung out with AA people all the time so that, you know, they would kind of babysit me, you know, until I could, you know, be. And basically what I did, I was just hang out all the time until I was so tired, and then I would go home and go to sleep. And then I'd wake up and do the same thing. And I did that the whole summer, you know. And I'm grateful, that I got sober over the summer because I could do that, you know, at that time. And, you know, they have, like, these, beach houses or whatever. They rent out, like, near in Ocean City or whatever. And so every weekend, I would do that all week, and then every weekend we would go to the beach, and there'd be, like, 200 people on the beach, and I would just be totally surrounded. And people just, you know, I mean, I moved when I got sober, so I didn't know where anything was, and I didn't know, you know, where the meetings were or anything like that. And people just picked me up every day and drove me around and took me to meetings and talked to me about alcoholism. And I just related so much, you know, I really wanted to do this, you know, so basically my sponsor got me right into it. She did not waste any time. And I know, you know, people have different philosophies about that, but, one, two, and three is kind of the, you know, it's just like a, I mean, we didn't really do much, you know. I was like, I guess one, I kind of had proved it to myself, you know what I mean? Like, and she did have me write down like a list of, examples of my powerlessness and my drinking and how I was unmanageable. And I remember unmanageability, like she had me write a list of like where I was unmanageable, like not in sobriety. And then like, since I had been sober or whatever. It was just so clear, you know, I didn't believe in God at all. And my mom was an atheist, and that's kind of how I was raised. My dad was a Catholic for a while and then changed to a Methodist. And so I had like some every other weekend, but then when I was like 10, I just refused to go. But by the time I got sober, I had no belief in a higher power at all. And if there was a higher power, then he was evil. I remember, you know, I'd ask people, like, what do you do to stay sober? And their answer would always be, like, you know, one of the answers would be pray, you know. And I remember my first prayer. I got on my knees, and I said, God, if you're real, please help me stay sober. And what happened was I started staying sober, you know. And before that, I had never been able to stay sober. Like, I think when I was trying to stay sober at the end, I got, like, you know, a day or two, you know. And I had, like, a week or two, and it was just crazy. And so I started believing that there was something, you know, that was there was something taking care of my sobriety, and that there was something obviously working for all these other people that were, you know, happy being sober, you know. And because they told me their stories, and they just didn't seem like that anymore, you know. And it was baffling because I just felt like, how do you get there? Like, how do you do that? You know, and my old sponsor, she carried this piece of paper in her glove box to show newcomers that, and it had her diagnosis, and it had like 10 diagnoses, like manic depressant, you know, I don't know. But she had like 10 different diagnoses, and it just made me it was very comforting, you know. So I did, you know, a fourth and a fifth step with my sponsor, and I was honest, you know. I know a lot of people like leave things off or whatever, but I actually remember before I did my fourth step, I was so excited about getting sober. Like I said, like people make fun of me still to this day. When I picked up my 24-hour chip at Midtown, there was like 400 people at Midtown, and I ran up the aisle, and then I knocked the chip person over because I was like, I'm getting sober, you know, like finally, you know. And I just felt like, you know, and that obviously that wore off, you know, but But, you know, I was thorough and honest, and, you know, I remember before, that's where that was coming from, you know, before I did my fourth and fifth step, this guy was, like, saying, which my darkest secret, and we were just in conversation, and he said it, and I was like, oh, my God, and I told him, and then I was like, oh, my God, I just told him, like, my darkest secret, but then I called my sponsor, and I told her, and that was even before I did my fifth step, because I knew that, you know, you had to get all this stuff out or whatever, and so I, you know, so I did that, and I don't really remember, you know, people, you know, I don't remember getting, like, the fifth step promises or whatever, but, I did, my shoulders dropped a little bit, and I felt like I had done something to be a part of AA, and I felt, like, closer to my sponsor, and I felt like, you know, like, I trusted that she could help me now, that, because she knew everything, you know, and that's where it started, you know. It talks about, you know, walking, you know, making a clear arch or whatever it says, like, that you can walk through a free man, and, you know, basically just getting all that stuff out so that God has room to come in, you know what I mean? And that was the very beginning, you know. It was like, you know, it was also the first time that I'd ever looked at myself. You know, it was always my mom's fault. It was always my ex-stepdad's fault. It was always the fact that my parents were divorced or that I grew up in Southern Maryland. And it was everything else's fault, you know. And it was the first time that I realized that, you know, I had, like, five different types of relationships and then just repeating over and over again, you know, or whatever, like, the just different faces, you know. And it was always, like, you know, my, I mean, I didn't necessarily, I was still really fogged to, like, notice any of my character defects yet or whatever, but I did notice that it was, like, I mean, I definitely caused havoc, you know. I wasn't, like, a nice girl who drank too much or whatever, and that was kind of the first time that I started letting my mom off the hook, you know, and I don't know. I mean, I just, you know, I got some service positions, and, you know, I just hung out, you know. I did what people told me to do. I got service, and I, you know, I hung out with my sponsor a couple days a week, and I started hanging out with people, and I would call people when I felt crazy, and I felt crazy all the time. I mean, I was always calling people, and I was always with people, and, you know, and luckily for me, you know, I know this isn't everybody's experience, but, the obsession to drink left early, you know. I don't remember exactly when, but I mean, I felt crazy, like, you know, like, just always anxiety attacks all the time, and I was crying all the time, and, but I wasn't thinking about drinking, you know, and, you know, and eventually, you know, my sponsor had me do, you know, an eighth step and a ninth step, and I, you know, I've been able to go back and make amends to everybody that's on my list, you know, I've made amends to, and actually, this is cool, I get to share this, I just paid my last dad my last amount, a week ago, and he just cashed it, and it's done, you know, and it just feels so good, you know, and I have 2,700 more to go, and then I'll be done. So I'm just, or at least for financial. So that's just so awesome. Like, I just remember thinking when I was new, like, oh my God, I'm never going to be able to pay off all this stuff, you know? And, you know, it's like, you know, I graduated college, and then I got a job, and I started paying amends, and then I got a better job, and I started paying more amends, and I got a better job, you know, and I started paying more amends. And you know, I remember somebody had told me that, when I was new, that if you just start paying a little bit, you know, God will help you get better jobs so that you can pay more. And that's been, I don't know if that's true, but that's what's happened for me, you know? I don't know. I just, you know, my relationship with my mom has gotten so much better. When I was new, I remember, you know, I mean, just, I hated my mom so much, and I remember sitting in meetings, like, you know, promises meet, like, you know, the nights of promises meetings, and thinking, that's never going to be me, you know, and, you know, my mom and I have a pretty good relationship. I mean, she still gets under my skin sometimes, just like, you know, I mean, family's tough, but, you know, like, yesterday we, you know, hung out, we got dinner, and then we went to a you know, a musical together, and it was, like, fun, you know, it was just, we had a good time, we spent a couple hours together, and then, you know, 5 years ago, that wouldn't have been possible, you know, and recently my brother got sober, which is so awesome. You know, I was watching him die of alcoholism, basically, and I didn't, you know, push or pry or try to shove anything down his throat, but he knew that if, you know, if he needed help, he could call me, and he got arrested the last time, and, you know, he got court ordered to come to meetings, and he went to a couple meetings, but he wasn't really interested, and, you know, I tried to give him to some guys and stuff, and he wasn't, you know, he was coming and he was relating, but he just wasn't really getting it. And then last year on New Year's Eve, he called me and he was like, what are you doing tonight? Like, I need a sober plan tonight. And I was like, well, we have this play and like, you got to come, like, you know, we have a dance afterwards and everything. And my boyfriend and I were supposed to go out to like a dinner. And instead we, went to this group dinner and brought my brother, and he's been sober ever since, you know, and my home group saved my brother's life, you know, and I'm so grateful for that. And he's made amends to me, and now he's doing it, you know? And I don't know, I'm just really grateful for that. And I guess like the last thing I'll touch on, I guess, is just, the thing that, I was joking with you earlier about this, about, you know, it's like, I'm almost 6 years sober, but I still like feel crazy, or like, I still get heady about things, and I still get resentful and all this stuff. And I think that, the only thing that's like kept me here, I mean, God, but you know, it's, you know, helping others, you know what I mean? Like, and getting out of myself and trying to pass this thing along, you know, and I've sponsored a couple people, and I've been able to take a few people through the steps, and it's been, you know, it's just been such a blessing, you know, because I've been able to work the steps again with them or whatever, and that's the only thing. I mean, you know, selfishness and self-centeredness is my problem, and it will kill me, and the only thing that goes against that and quiets my head is when I'm trying to reach out and think about somebody else, you know, so I guess you guys just wanted me to talk until 6:55 or something like that. So I'm going to stop now, and thank you so much for having me out.